May the words I speak, may the thoughts we think, may the deeds which come from them be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. In a powerful and profound theological statement, and maybe one of the boldest pitches ever delivered by a missionary, Paul turns up in Athens at the center of the Hellenistic Empire and walks past all these statues to various gods and all the grand temples. And he says to the citizens of the most advanced and sophisticated city in the world at that time, in effect, I see that you too are a people who search for God and see everywhere the manifestations of the divine. I come with the good news that the God you seek to know can be known in new and intimate ways because he came among us as a fellow human and opened a new and living way to know God, a God you too can know. As we heard from the reading, as it was read for us earlier, St. Paul addresses the people of Athens and says, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. I even found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. And then in the Gospel of John, Helen read, we're reminded that in Jesus we have the most complete manifestation of God. And that because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and the giving of the Spirit, we too are included in the intimate life of God. That we're embraced in that triune dance of Creator, Jesus, and Spirit. And that as intimate participants in God, we are to try and love as God loves. For God lives with and even in us. Now those two readings from Scripture wouldn't have been heard side by side as we hear them today, until well into the 3rd century, as decisions were being made about what letters and what stories were to be included in what we now call the New Testament, and of course, which ones weren't. And different Christian traditions selected different material, but all with a common core, and still holds to those today. Because these original stories and tales and letters were given to different Christian traditions, but then shared amongst them. And some spoke with a lasting message that people needed to hear again and again and again. But we're fortunate. These two were included in Scripture, and we hear them together today. And they give us a wonderful opportunity to hold on to two separate assertions. That there is a sense in which God is unknowable and mysterious and beyond name and labeling, and that God is intimately knowable because of Jesus and our invitation into the very heart of God. These two assertions don't need to be mutually exclusive or conflicting, but can speak to us of the greatness and the majesty and the wonder of God, and yet God's compassion for this world and all that is in it. I suspect that if most of us reflect on our own relationship with God, we can see that both are true for us. That God remains in some ways and at some times mysterious, unknowable, beyond our understanding and reach. And that for each one of us there will be moments, maybe long moments, when we're wonderfully and terribly aware of the vast gulf between who and what we are and who and what God is. And yet it is also true, I hope, that we've experienced that we can have a loving and intimate relationship with God, which at moments might have the easy intimacy of lovers, of friends, of parent and child, at the very least of companions on the journey. And if that's true of our relationship with God, isn't it also true of our relationships with each other? Even with our nearest and dearest, who we know so well, and we do, there are still layers of unfathomable mystery. That person you've known for so many years still has the capacity to surprise you. And surely then, even more so for those who are obviously different and distant from us. They are both recognisably like us and a mystery to us. We are, I believe, called to treat each other as such, as mysteries, as eternally important, as created by the divine from the dust of stars, and as neighbours like ourselves, equally filled with hope, joy, anxiety, despair, desire and struggle. Not exactly the same, but equally strong and vulnerable, equally human, equally made of the divine stuff of eternity. And this deep respect and sensitivity is to be shown not only to those who are like us, maybe in culture or religion, but to all whom God has created in God's own image. Paul's great gift to us, who live in a world that's even more multicultural and cosmopolitan than the one he lived in, is that we are to come into the centre of other worldviews and ways of life, and honour their traditions, and find the place in our hearts and minds to share what we've come to know of the nature of God, to proclaim what we know of God, and to allow that some parts of this divine mystery may have been revealed not to us but to others. To be respectful and curious, not fearful and denigrating. To be courageous and confident of the good news revealed to us and open to conversation with those who also long for the divine and grope towards that ultimate mystery. And even when our conversations stop short of agreement, to recognise that we all live and move and have our being through the heartbeat of the same Lord of creation. We are all created by God to know God and love God. Which is not to say that there are not real differences between different religions and philosophies, or even that all are equally good or right. We certainly do not need to be apologetic about this faith we share. But I do think we are being encouraged to be humble and full of the hope given to us, curious and confident in the love revealed, respectful and relevant. And when we can't agree or see as others do, either between faiths and philosophies or between different theologies within the one faith, we're called to remember that God, revealed to us in the very person of Jesus, told us to love one another if we claim to love him. For love, not doctrine, is the gospel core. An affirmation and a challenge is about how best to give expression to the love of our ultimately mysterious divine creator and destination, and yet intimately knowable friend, teacher, companion, and saviour, who is Jesus the Christ. So we come towards the end of the Easter season. In it we've encountered stories of great love and great passion and great suffering. We've encountered stories of things that seemed not only improbable but impossible to those who knew Jesus and followed him back in those days. And we were invited to be part of that divine story and paradox ourselves. And all our questions will not be answered this side of heaven. But we are called to place at the heart of that story and at the heart of our faith, love. Even so, come Lord Jesus Christ, come lead us further into the mystery and intimacy of your love and life. Amen.